Welcome back to the Tony Connolly Morning Show on 1320 WILS, 1320WILS.com. JetBlue passengers had to tackle an unruly pilot. The CEO of JetBlue said early yesterday that he personally knows the pilot whose erratic behavior led to a diverted flight and that there were no earlier signs of problems. Courtney Chappell is originally from Michigan, and she was a JetBlue passenger on that flight, and she's on the other end of our line. Courtney, how are you?
I am well. Good morning.
I guess that is one flight number you will never forget.
You got that right. It was quite an interesting morning that I was not expecting.
All right. Well, take us to the beginning before the chaos broke out. You got on the plane. Everything seemed normal?
Yeah. Well, it was interesting, actually. The pilot who ultimately went a little crazy was actually showed up late. I was already boarding, and he showed up, and the other pilot was met him at the door, basically, you know, kind of one of those, glad you made it, you know, conversations. So that, you know, I didn't think much of it at that point. I thought it was interesting that he was running late, and the other pilot was a little, you know, seemingly kind of annoyed. But then, you know, everything was fine. We were a couple hours into the flight. I was actually asleep, and the woman next to me woke me up, and there was just a lot of commotion. Apparently, you know, from the things I saw and then talking to several other passengers who were, you know, closer to the front of the plane and witnessed the entire thing firsthand, you know, he just, I guess he was having some erratic behavior. He was acting a little weird, and the pilot, the co-pilot, I guess, you know, had the wherewithal to talk him out of the cockpit, which, you know, I think was our saving grace, quite honestly, and got him out of the cockpit and locked the door. And then it sounded like he had gone just a little crazier. And apparently he had unlocked one of the laboratory doors where there was a woman actually in there and was having a problem looking for, you know, water, seeing a lot, and then started running up and down the aisle and talking about, you know, Iraq, Afghanistan, Israel, we're going to, you know, I want to take this plane down, we're, you know, it's the end anyway, I don't know, something, you know, just very, you know, erratic, I guess. And then, you know, unbeknownst to him, I guess there's a security show here in Las Vegas, so I'd say probably 80% of the passengers on the flight were men, many of them retired cops, current cops, corrections officers, you know, think people having to do with security, military. You know, they ultimately tackled him, got him down, restrained him with seatbelts, and, you know, I guess he was in and out of consciousness, and, you know, they sat on him. There was a very large man who was a corrections officer who was really, you know, keeping him down, and several passengers that really just, you know, saved us all. And then there was another pilot sitting actually in my row who was flying back to Las Vegas just as a passenger, and he got up to the cockpit and was able to help the other pilot land. So we went down and went down really fast, and they got us to Amarillo. I'd say we were probably on the ground within 10, 15 minutes from, you know, cruising altitude of 30,000, 35,000 feet. And next thing you knew, we were in northern Texas. So, you know, we're all very, very happy to be safe and sound and, you know, on the ground. So
we're talking with Courtney Chappell, who was a passenger on the JetBlue flight when Captain Clayton Osborne was locked out of the cockpit because he was exhibiting erratic behavior, and that continued when he was locked out of the cabin. Courtney, you, from your location, could you see a chaos? Did it look like a scuffle and a fight? Describe what you could see.
What I could see was just a lot of people. I mean, when I really, you know, kind of figured out what was going on, I thought it was a passenger that was acting a little crazy. And all I saw was about, I'd say, probably 15 or so men just running to the front of the airplane. And then, you know, you just saw just a bunch of people and commotion that you couldn't honestly see that much because I was in row 20, so a little bit further towards the back. But there was a lot of passengers that were running to the front. There was a flight attendant, you know, running to the back to try to get restraints and things like that. So, you know, and then just kind of it all went calm, and some people went back to their seats, and then there was probably, I'd say, four or five people that stayed in the front to keep him subdued and down.
Were you afraid?
You know, I wasn't, oddly enough, because, first of all, I thought it was a passenger. So, you know, by the time it all happened so fast, by the time I knew what was going on, he was already down. And, you know, if people were saying, oh, somebody had an anxiety attack, oh, you know, nobody really knew what was going on. But then as, you know, the story started to unfold and I realized it was a pilot who was actually in control of our plane, at that point it started to, you know, really hit home that there was a real potential that had the crew not have been as seasoned or as, you know, intuitive as they were, and the passengers not have been so, you know, fast acting, I guess. You know, who knows? So I try not to think about that part.
So you were diverted to North Texas. How long did it take you to get back on your original flight plan?
A couple of hours. You know, they were great. We got off the plane. We were met by about 40 detectives. They had food and drinks for us. You know, the people at the airport could not have been more accommodating. We were probably on the plane for about an hour when they got, you know, the pilot off and finally got us off. And then, you know, each one of us had to sit with a detective, give an affidavit statement about what we saw. And then, you know, we just waited for a flight to come in from Long Beach that they had brought, you know, empty to us. And they brought in, JetBlue brought in seven or eight people, including crew and some executives from the Long Beach office there. So they, you know, made it a point to, you know, ask us, what do we need? How can we help? You know, how are you feeling? Like, definitely did a really good job making sure that, you know, they could do as much as they could to make us all feel safe again.
This was a JetBlue flight from New York to Las Vegas, and a case of what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. That didn't happen, did it?
That's why we made it to Vegas.
All right. And will this keep you from flying again?
No. I think even the flight attendant on the second plane that got us to Vegas, she said that only one passenger ended up leaving the flight and not getting on and making other arrangements. So, you know, I think that's one of the risks, unfortunately. I mean, generally not a pilot, but I think that's one of the risks that we all kind of take sometimes flying these days, and the sad reality. But, you know, you can't, I personally believe you can't live your life like that. So I'll continue flying, and I'll probably continue on JetBlue.
Well, Courtney, we're glad you're well. We're glad you're safe and sound, and we appreciate you taking the time to chat with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You're listening to the Tony Connelly Morning Show and more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.